Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed. Joining me, as ever, is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. Hello, listeners.
And it's our 250th episode.
250.
250 weeks.
Of our lives.
I mean, that's like a prison sentence in a lot of ways.
200.
Isn't it?
I only did one in the first 60 or two.
That's right, yeah.
So 200, it's a whole year.
Well, it's a more, in terms of
work,
yeah,
with
yeah,
days
yeah.
off, accounting for days off, holidays,
sure,
public holidays,
sure.
Bank holidays.
That's a year of work.
Just pissed away.
Well, here's to another 250.
Yeah. Wow, I wonder how depressed I'll be by then.
I mean, that is the overarch of the series at the moment.
The arc is, Marek starts out, he's just stopped. He starts doing Film Fandango. He's just stopped doing a TV show. Things are going quite well.
Yes.
And it's gradually got worse.
But if it's going to be an interesting story, then we will also get your bounce back.
That happened.
You'll be on your way to superstardom and doing it less and less frequently as my career hits the skids. And then you'll come back after 50 weeks away for a special guest one with your new wife. Who will be like Alicia Vikander or something.
Oh.
And, you know, and I'll be like, oh, thanks for coming back. Oh, you've got to go. No, that's fine.
I can only say one word on the podcast.
Because it has to go through your publicist.
Yes.
And what word would that be?
I do the and keep watching the films.
Okay, well, that would be good. People would tune in for that. It would be the highest downloaded episode of the whole thing.
Well, wouldn't take much. Thank you to our listeners who thank you to our new listeners and to our whoever is still listening. And we've not heard from our Uber fan, Chris Webb, for quite some time.
We haven't. I hope you're well, Chris. I'm lying. I mean, I hear from him on Twitter most days.
Yeah, but he doesn't write in anymore.
No, he doesn't. He thinks he's too big for that now.
Don't think... I mean, this is a bit... private. Chris Webb, don't think that because you're friends with us on Twitter that we're something you can't write in. You can't be bothered to write in anymore.
Yeah, because we can start referring to someone else as our biggest fan quite easily, you know?
Well,
it's a two-way street, Chris Webb. Yeah?
A very odd start to the podcast.
Very odd start. To our 250th, we have both... Now, you were going to go to the cinema.
Well, here's the story. I went to the cinema... I went to see another film we talked about before in the morning.
Yes.
And I went to go and see, to a double in the afternoon, to see Finding Dory.
Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, about Helen? Ellen DeGeneres' character.
The weather was quite bad.
Right.
And I didn't realise that the showing that I was going to go to, because it's summer holidays, was some sort of kids' club thing. So I got there and I realised it was just all kids. Some kids just by themselves in groups. And I genuinely thought, this is going to look really weird.
Like you've specifically sought out the kids' club showing.
I don't look normal on the best of days, but I was in a raincoat.
It's been a very humid rain recently, so you're probably quite sweaty.
Well, I was sweaty.
Yeah.
I was sweaty because I've realised I went to have some lunch and when I rushed back to cinema, I was sweaty, I was damp, and there were loads of kids there, and I thought, do you know what?
Did you have a Mac on?
I did have my raincoat on. And I thought, God, I mean, you would, I don't like a paedophile.
It's a bit like you'd sort out kids free swim at the local pool in your garden.
Really
no,
weird.
I have to do my length.
A sort of
now.
Slightly sweaty man going, do you know what? I'm not going to go to this. If it was a normal showing, it would be fine, because it was a kids club thing. I didn't purposely go, yeah, that'll be the kid. I just didn't. It was just, I looked at the times and didn't say, so I thought, I'm not going to watch this. So apologies. It was my own.
Decency, I would say.
I'm not trying to say that, you know, I'm not a paedophile. I would not have tried to help.
I mean, those
wasn't
kids,
one of those things where I'm thinking, I'm going to endanger these kids.
No, I mean, those kids were... I get that. I think everyone gets that.
Perfectly safe, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the kids wouldn't have noticed. I think they would have been distracted by the fish fun. But you may have ruined the afternoon for some of the parents. So
no,
I think
it wasn't just that. It was also the fact there were hundreds of kids there. You know, and it's just not just a few scattered kids. There probably were about 50 or 60 kids.
So one could go missing quite easily. No one would miss it.
No. I mean, it was going to be... Also, it would have been horrific for me. Like, really noisy and lots of... So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go home and walk home, and I'm going to find a film that I wanted to watch I missed at the cinema.
And what film was that?
I was very pleased to see 10 Cloverfield Lane on the iTunes I bought it from.
Right.
So I bought that.
I did the exact same thing.
What?
But without
going to
the children's pre-story.
How would you have felt? Would you have gone if it was Kids Club?
You know what? I've got a far less paedophile-y vibe than you. No, I would have felt weird. I think I also would have just gone, oh, this is going to be intolerable. Like, I've been to showings where there are only like 6 kids, if they're in front of you and they're bored by what they're seeing, so they start playing down the front.
It was a mixture of thinking, I'm a little weird, and it was, I think, more so the fact that there were so many kids there, I thought, this is going to be really horrible. I'd rather go home and watch a film and eat my popcorn.
No, and I think that's right. I mean, and also, you can't resent them for it. It's just like, it's a kid's film and these are kids, they want to enjoy themselves. Yeah. Just like, well, maybe this isn't for me. I'll bow out. I've regretted going to see, I can't remember what it was now, where the kids were enjoying it sort of, but I think it was the Lego Movie actually. And
that's definitely an adult film.
Really?
Yeah, the humour in it. Well, it's a mix, I think.
It's like The Simpsons, there's something for everyone, isn't
but
there?
The Lego Movie definitely is a lot in there for it. There's a lot of nods to adults.
There is. I downloaded from Blinkbox or Talk TV Store. It is sometimes called, because they haven't spent any money on rebranding. It's £3.49.
You got the HD one?
No, £2.49. You're right, it was standard definition.
That's always thing. I think, why would you pay a pound more for the HD? iTunes, it's normal rentals, like £2.50 for standard, or £3.50 for...
I think the answer to that is if you have a big television, standard definition would be a bit annoying.
After the first 5 minutes, you wouldn't notice.
No. Have you watched an old VHS tape in the last 4 years? Five years? Really muddy. Like, it's weird how you forget.
Yeah.
But, like, you just go, oh no.
Yeah.
Really soft. And so, do you remember the reds sometimes used to bleed? Do you remember that? Bleeding
red? Sort of, yes. I think it does sound familiar.
So, 10 Cloverfield Lane, for those who do not know, this was a sort of surprise that just appeared out of nowhere. And people were like, ooh, what's it got to do with Cloverfield? Because the trailer made it look really good. Because it had the... I Think We're Alone Now over it, didn't it? And John Goodman and a couple of young things, one of them played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is that right?
Yes.
Seemed to be in some kind of nuclear bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we really know. And so it's one of these single room, basically, films. But what it has to do with the film Cloverfield, which was a big monster movie by J.J. Abrams from quite some years
really
before.
Underrated. I think
I really
brilliant.
Like Cloverfield. I'm not a big fan of found footage films, which is what it was, but it did it really well.
I thought Cloverfield
it was excellent. As a monster movie, it was excellent. And so what this had to do with it was a complete mystery. And so there you go. That's what it is. Now, I don't want to spoil too much. Coffee. You have spoiled coffee, mouth. But yeah, never mind. What did you make of this?
I was really good.
So did I. I love John Goodman. I think he does such incredible work.
I think they're all really good. The other actor is a bloke called John Gallagher, who was in a film, played a bad guy in a sort of weird film called Hush, which I didn't. Which Chris Webb recommended to me.
Right.
Which I wasn't.
Oh, the one with the mask.
Yeah.
Mask Man.
Yeah, he played a bad guy in that. This is what, if you're going to make remakes or spin-offs of films, this is how you do it. It's a it's just,
you know what, and it reminds me in a funny way, like Aliens, because although Aliens is entirely spiritually a sequel to Alien, it's a different genre of film. Alien is a haunted house horror film. Aliens is a action film, and it's the same world, different genre, and it makes it expands the whole world and makes you want to see even more of it. This is a psychological thriller. So, but in the same world as Cloverfield.
It's just adding another layer to make it a far more interesting film.
Yeah.
So what the brief story is, what you can say from the trailer is, Mary Elizabeth Winstead just left her husband. She's driving off and she's involved
in a car accident.
You don't know how it happens. And she wakes up and she's in this bunker with John Goodman, who's made the bunker. And
he's one of these survivalist, apocalypse preparers kind of guys.
Yeah, and another guy, sort of quite sort of stupid guy called Emmett, who helped him build a bunker, but who's sort of a normal guy. What you don't know is, this is a brilliant plot device. John Goodman has told Michelle, the actor, that it's, you know, the end of the world. But you don't know whether she's being kidnapped or, you know, this is all a myth.
You don't know if it's true or not. Yeah. And that is it. It plays out and we shouldn't spoil any more than that.
Yeah.
That is the first 10, 15 minutes of the film. And just being allowed, it's weird to say, to just spend this much time just with three actors and is always a privilege. It's always far more interesting than having 12 or 40 actors on the screen, you know. It's especially such good ones. Like, John Goodman is doing such good work of just being that, just on the correct edge of weird, so you never know if you should trust him or not.
You know who's trusting it. You just a bit, all the characters have got, they all feel really rounded.
John Goodman doesn't look in anyone's eyes or from a lot of it when he's saying things, and then he just looks at them at the end before he walks away, and it's a really unsettling thing to watch.
But I love the fact it's related to the Cloverfield. Adds so much to it. Adds this thing to it, which I think is a complete, like you said, a completely different film, a spin-off to it.
Yeah.
But with this other thing, and you think, why is it called Cloverfield? That's in the back of your mind as well.
Yeah.
I thought it was. Really great. I'd give it 8 Mareks.
Yeah, I'd give it 8 David. There's an interesting thing as well, that Cloverfield is the brand of this franchise, obviously, but I don't think, and I'm stretching my memory a long way back now, that the original film Cloverfield ever justifies its name.
No.
It's just called Cloverfield. So that remains unanswered, because 10 Cloverfield Lane is the address of this bunker. But we still don't know. It's a great film, and it's a really interesting franchise so far. And I hope they don't go, well, we know what it is now, and let's just do Independence Day or whatever. It's like, no, keep doing this. Keep
really,
being interesting.
Really imaginative subplots.
Yeah.
Things that could only happen in certain situations, you know, really odd. I just found it really fascinating. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's just a unique situation in another unique situation.
Yeah,
who would be the worst people to, at the end, you know, is the end of the world or something?
Yeah.
And then who would be the worst people to
to be forced to trust?
Yeah.
That's at the heart of it, and it's great. This is a film that totally lived up to its trailer. And that's weird, because that goes both ways. You know, you get terrible trailers that end up being great films because there's no moments that are very trailer moments in the movie, or there's incredible trailers that the films are just, oh, it's just trailer moments stacked on top of each other. But this was brilliant.
I don't know why it's not had... I think it's one of the best films of the year. I don't know why it's not given more sort of...
I think it was fairly low budget to go under the radar. It certainly didn't get that big a publicity boost when it came out, did it? There were posters and stuff, but because people couldn't talk about what it was, they therefore can't promote it in the same way. Yes. Just go, hey, well, this is about Captain America and he beats up Nazis and in the end he wins. You can't talk about it because to talk about it is to spoil it. So it's all interesting films will suffer in that way.
Definitely worth a rental. And these are sort of imaginative films that people should be bloody making.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I'll tell you what some people like doing.
What do they do? Oh, it's this! We've actually received a letter for Buddy, the dog who is asleep behind me, hogging this chair. It says, Dear Buddy, my friend Christine is sending this to your human, David. I heard you got to see a film. That's one of my favourite things ever. I went to see Kiki's Delivery Service today, but I was not able to take my kitty Luna. She doesn't sit still very well sometimes. But there were two kitties in the movie, Gigi, who helps Kiki the witch, and later he meets Lily, and at the end they have kittens. It was a good cartoon, and Gigi is especially funny. There's a giant balloon crash, but it was only a little scary. Thank you for letting me share. Since I saw a photo of you and David, here I am with my snacks and my toy bunny waiting for the movie. Have a good day. Have David give you a pat from me. Love, Amelia. And that's... how old do you think Amelia is there?
17. Oh, no. 8.
8.
7 or 8.
Well, thank you, Amelia, for your letter. Buddy is... Yeah. He's very pleased to receive it there. He looks very pleased to receive it. I didn't know we had 8-year-olds listening to this. I mean, I feel quite guilty.
I would definitely have changed the content of this episode.
But thank you, Amelia. Who else has written in?
This is from Miles. Hello, Dave American Buddy. I was inspired to write in after you spoke about Tale of Tales as I lit up at the mention of Matteo Garrone. Mr. Garrone directed one of my favourite films, Reality, and I think it's worth a watch. It's on Netflix, so watch it. Also, Mummy is another international film on Netflix by Canadian director Xavier Dolan, who hasn't made many good films other than Tom at the Film. Regardless, both films are great, and you should watch them. So, watch them. There we go. Reality and
Mummy.
Mummy.
Mummy, I think, is a horror, isn't it? I've heard of that one. I've not heard of Reality.
Yes. Here's a very quick one from Wolfsburg player Tom Saunders.
Okay.
Hello. I think Predator 2 is better than Predator. Do you have any wrong opinions that you refuse to let go of, Tom? I haven't seen Predator 2.
No.
In about 20 years, I don't mean.
Predator 2 Lost in New York.
And with Danny Glover in it. Yeah. I remember it being surprisingly good. I was surprised it was good. But Predator, I think, is unbeatable, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. Incredible film.
I still have the soundtrack on my iPod, and it comes on quite a lot. It's very, very good for walking around London.
It's so quotable, that film, isn't it? I mean, every line. As I was going to say, every line's a trailer line, really. Like, it's wonderful.
The casting is brilliant, Predator.
Yeah.
Especially the alien.
He's great. It was nearly Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, gosh.
But isn't.
Okay, here we go. Oh, there's a.
Are you stalling?
I'm stalling.
I thought you might be stalling.
Ewan McGuinness has sent in an email, but it's to watch his film. We will get round to watching that, Ewan. Here is another email from Darren Rogers.
Darren Rogers. He says, Hi guys. I've seen a few films recently. Not sure what I would recommend though. The Secret Life of Pets is okay.
But hang on a second. That music is someone's car outside, is it?
I don't know. It could be the teenage girls who live next door.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It is okay, but not as good as anything by Pixar. I enjoyed The Host, which had mediocre reviews, but I thought it was quite a clever film, although I can see the humour of a character with a presence inside them being torn between two lovers. I didn't understand that sentence. The Purge was okay, and I was surprised by the direction it took near the end. Gangster Squad was boring, correct.
whatever talent Sean Penn once had, has he made anything decent since Milk, seems to have vanished, sadly. The pick of the bunch for me was Maggie, the Arnie film about zombies that isn't a slaughter fest. It's actually a very thoughtful and tender film. Quick question. Are you excited or worried about a sequel to Blade Runner coming out in 2017? I thought we had that on our list of films that they couldn't touch. Who do I complain to? And that is from Darren Rogers, although he signed it J. So that's weird. So, Blade Runner. I mean, stop remaking everything, please. I want to get off.
It's totally unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, it's a standalone film, if ever there was one, isn't it? Like, it's just, boom, perfect, there. Like, what else is there to say? Other than, like, hey, let's remake it with modern special effects that are less charming.
I don't know how you can improve it. I don't know how you could improve it.
No, other than wheel Harrison Ford out again to...
Is he going
to
be in it again?
Who knows? But, I mean, it's Ryan Gosling, you'll be pleased about. But...
Yeah...
But what is the point?
And is it a complete... Is it a remake or is it a completely different
film? Well, who knows, but they're neither one nor the other these days, aren't they? They're like, the old one still exists, you guys, because we've worked out by trial and error that's what you like, but this is also a remake of it at the same time.
There are so many science fiction stories. I've been recently reading The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury, who's an incredible writer. He wrote Fahrenheit 451, yeah. But there's... millions and millions of brilliant science fiction fiction stories,
yeah,
that they could try and do and make the next classic with, but they have to just revisit the same old crap.
But it's not just them, it's us. It's us, the consumers, who keep going to remakes.
Not me.
Well, it's probably me.
It's you.
It's me, it's my fault. I just go because there's nothing else on. So there is that as well. I don't want to see a remake of Blade Runner. It'll spoil it. Because, I mean, there's just something so claustrophobic about the city environment that they've managed to construct in Blade Runner with their matting of models and live action over the top of each other. And even though it's a set, so it feels like you're all piled on top of each other. As soon as you can do anything with CGI,
yeah,
it'll feel like every fucking future city in everything, won't it?
I think we talked about before, and I think I talked about the documentary, I can't remember what it's called, The Making of the Blade Runner,
yeah,
about a year ago or something, and like you said, it was just all the models, they filmed the models in with the fit, you know,
yeah,
a lot,
yeah,
of it was, I agree with you completely, I think CGI is going to ruin the look of it.
I don't see the point of remaking it still holds up. You know,
really feel really depressed. Do one more. Do you want to talk about your?
No, let's move on. That'll do for today. Thank you for your letters, guys. If you'd like to write to us, then please do so. Go to filmfandango.com and fill in the form there. Now, I just want to talk very briefly. This is quite a quick episode. This one, I saw a film that I didn't see at the time because I was like, meh. I've not heard good things. The trailer looks meh. But I enjoyed the first film, so I'll give it a go, finally. I got around to Zoolander 2.
Oh, why on earth did you do that?
It's not that bad.
Really?
You're bandwagoning, I'm afraid, Marek.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's... everyone attacked it just because it's the same stuff again, but it's a comedy sequel. We're not going to get a brand new genre, are we?
Like, it absolutely it's, slaughtered.
I know, and it's because it's quite weird and actually quite funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit too strange
so
in
what
places.
Is it pick up? So the end of Zoolander.
So the end of Zoolander, it's basically the Manchurian Candidate Zoolander, but with models. So he has been programmed to kill the, is it Malaysian Prime Minister? And by a fashion icon called Mugatu, played by Will Ferrell, and because he's trying to end, I think, sweatshop labour that make all of his clothes. It's lots of fun. And they foil his plans. This one, as much time has passed since Zoolander was out, so now him and Hansel, played by Owen Wilson, are now a bit old and a bit past it, and they don't really get everyone... And there's a really good, funny hipster character who everything... He only loves things he hates. He's really good.
And Kristen Wiig, or Wig, or however you pronounce it, is in it as well, as a Donatella Versace style character, and she's really good. And Mugatu's back. He manages to break out of prison. And this one is about a string of celebrity murders. And all of them take a selfie of themselves in their dying moments. And so they need to, they need the police, Interpol rather, with Penelope Cruz, need Derek Zoolander's help, because only he has such an intricate knowledge of faces to be able to try and solve what's happening. And it's so stupid, but fun. Like, it is really, there's some real laugh out loud moments in it. Like, people are like, there's too many celebrity cameos. There are like the same number as the first film.
Like, why do you think you got slated then? Because it's just that.
I don't know, you know, maybe it's just the wrong time for it. I don't know, but it goes weird. Like, it's not about fashion people in particular. It goes properly James Bond film. It goes more sort of Austin Powers stupid than the first, I don't know.
4.8 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's not that bad. You know, it's not brilliant either. I'm not saying it's, you know, Life of Brian or Airplane, but it's like, I enjoyed it.
So something to watch when it comes out on the video station.
Well, it's on streaming. That's where I picked it up.
Oh, watch on the video player.
On the video player. Yeah, yeah. On the video player. I've got nothing more to say than other, like, you know, give it a chance. It won't be for everyone, but it's not as bad as everyone said.
Just try giving people a chance for once.
Yeah, yeah. Hasn't Ben Stiller brought you enough happiness that you can, you know, give him a chance?
How do you expect people to believe in themselves if you don't believe in them?
That's right. That's right. And that is the moral of all Film Fandango.
Put a window in your arsehole.
Put a window in your arsehole.
And keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.